Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. To begin our midday prayer together, a reading from the Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 129 through 136. Thy instruction is wonderful, therefore I gladly keep it. Thy word is revealed, and all is light. It gives understanding even to the untaught. I pant, I thirst, longing for thy commandments. Turn to me and be gracious, as thou hast decreed, for those who love thy name. Make my steps firm according to thy promise, and let no wrong have the mastery over me. Set me free from man's oppression, that I may observe thy precepts. Let my face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. My eyes stream with tears, because men do not heed thy law. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we pause throughout our Lenten time together and reflect, we thank you for your word that speaks to us, that encourages us, and that today reminds us of the needs of our world, of our community, of our church, and in our families. We lift these to you, and in the silence of our hearts, we intercede, asking you to be present with us. And now, Lord, as we continue in our midday prayer together, be with us and speak to our hearts and our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Well, the word that I have for you today as we spend time in midday prayer is also found from the Psalms. Psalms seems like an appropriate place to be in this time of coronavirus as we meditate, as we lament, as we hope, as we think, as we respond to God in personal and appropriate ways. So hear these words from the 51st Psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your holy name from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. My tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be all offered on your altar. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we stop and consider these your words today, speak to our hearts and our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. As we come to the time of meditation, I want to tell you, as I think about this psalm, that I am broken. I wonder how often or how frequently you have uttered those words to the Lord when no one is looking or listening around you. In a rare moment of honesty and self-awareness, I am broken. And not in a distant, pious manner that makes me feel good speaking those words because I sit near the self-righteous and accidentally act like a Pharisee. But you really, deep down, know what it feels like to be damaged, devalued, harmed. And not just in a physical sense, but in one that gets down to your very core. Can you say today, there is a part of me right now that is broke? And I do mean broke. A part that feels hurt or damaged, perhaps. As not just the image of a bicycle chain slipping the gear that doesn't quite work as well, but it feels like you've cracked the frame. The spokes of the wheel make you plummet out of control down the hill. You are running away in pain. Today, I know I am not the only one who has felt this type of wound, this brokenness, this feeling out of control, this plummeting, this devaluing as we deal with social distancing and not being physically the church together. We are all broken down by the life we participate in. We're bloodied, we're sore, we feel distant. It's a life that gives us very little compassion or understanding and takes much away in the name of entitlement, self-pride. A life that takes more than it gives. It is a life that divides me from those God has placed around me to help me heal and to remind me that if and when I find myself laying in the ditch, if and when I feel like I am wounded, to remember that God provides. Parker Palmer tells us wholeness does not mean perfection. It means embracing the brokenness as an integral part of life. Embrace the fact that we are all broken today and find a way to see that God has provided healing for you. Well, this psalm does not expressly state this. Psalm 51, David was broken as he wrote these words. Sometimes the breaks come when we don't even know that the events we initiated would turn out in the manner in which they did. But we still break. And we still feel that no one, including God, hears or understands, or maybe we would even say cares why. As you might know, the background of this text is that David's sin with Bathsheba. What started out as a simple human choice, self-centered and all, that he made has great ramifications in the long term of both himself, his family, his community, and his nation. You remember the story. David sends Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, to his death so that he could marry a married woman. He takes what he wants with no thought of what it could mean. Sadly, his choices mean that an individual dies. Then Nathan confronts the king with this sin that God has revealed to him. Nathan tells David how deeply God has been wounded by his sin and ultimately how much the sin will cost. So over the handlebars, David goes, crashing down the hill, rolling in pain, feeling separated. The wound is painful. The kingdom, the community God has entrusted to him will suffer. It will be taken from David's descendants, as sometimes the effects of our actions and words run far deeper than we thought they would. As he writes these words in the psalm, David realizes he has been forgiven by God's grace, a grace that the king does not yet understand fully. But it is only in the moment of choice to listen that we see the redemption is possible and received in David's life. For us, the problem manifests itself in the isolated struggles we deal with in this time period. When we are wounded or broken, or perhaps we think we are beyond the ability to hide it any longer, when the pain is too great that even trying to get back into life is too hard, God offers to listen. In this text, God has listened, and furthermore, God has acted. God tells us that we are not as alone in the world. Even as you are in conflict or suffering or isolation in the life you have now, he tells us, I am listening to your struggles, really listening, not placating or offering you selfish lip service when the world around you would do that. I, God, am listening. If honesty ruled, we would admit that we don't want someone to placate us. We would rather have someone deeply listen to the pain we are feeling. We don't need someone to tell us what we want to hear, what we think we want to hear, because they are right and we are wrong, but we need someone who will willingly listen to the pain we feel. Listen to how we struggle. Listen to how separated we feel. Listen to how, in a world of social distancing, we don't want to be separated. Just sit with me. Sam Wells tells us that the basis of the gospel's message from God is that whatever happens, God is going to remain close at hand. It's the basis of Jesus' work in Wells' mind. The psalmist in our passage had that person to listen, but it did take a while to see what was right before his eyes, what God was doing. David had God closer than he thought. He was broken, and he, like us, needed to embrace that and allow the fact that God was listening, that whatever happened, however it manifested itself, however isolated or distant he may feel, God would be close. Because God listens to us deeply, we are invited then to listen deeply to God with others. It is only as we listen to God in a deep calling unto deep way that we find the strength to see the change which is possible in us. It is only as David listens to God, as David was vulnerable to God, as David was willing to admit that his agendas got him in this mess in the first place, that David wanted to be reunified to his community, that God's healing touch, which was present the entire time if David sought it, was able to heal. It is only as we too can imagine what God is saying to us that the healing we crave in this time is possible. We are all broken. But the breaks in our lives are ones that at sometimes, through social distancing, no one notices in our world or even maybe in our families. They live right in the middle of our lives, and we cannot ignore them any longer. But as we do this, we do not often find ways to listen to the pain another person is expressing. That's where Lent can be helpful. Spending some deliberate time in silent reflection and meditation with God, finding a psalm such as this, sitting with it when you can't sit with anyone else, is a deliberate act, a necessary one. It creates space so that God can speak to us, so God can heal us. And so now, with you and your own self sitting there with God, I invite you, as we conclude our Lenten time together, to listen deeply to what God might be saying to you. Where have you said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done? Where have you pushed past someone who is hurting so you could only offer them the right answer, which is just sadly nothing more than your answer? Where have you, and when have you, found space to affirm the brokenness in your own life with another person? And as you affirm it, you affirm the Christ who says, whatever happens, I will be with you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray together. Eternal God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to direct and rule us according to your will, to comfort us in all of our affliction, to defend us from all evil and error, and to lead us into all truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed Savior, at this hour you hung on the cross for us, stretching out your loving arms. Grant that all your peoples of earth may be drawn to your redeeming love for your kingdom's sake. And now with the confidence of God's children, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The God of peace be with us. Bless the Lord. The Lord's name be praised.